Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. Dr. Steve Martin, our Arthrex Sports Medicine segment at 7:25. Dane Young talking some Georgia athletics at 8:05. Andrew Oliphant's going to give us the latest with the Live Tour at 8:25. Looking forward to talking some Major League Baseball, some college football, some PGA Tour stuff, some more college football. A lot to do here. Busy Wednesday show. The producer, AM in the AM, Ashby Mixon. Good morning, friend.
What
how are you?
What up? What up?
How are you?
Happy hump day.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Awesome. Hadn't seen you since Friday, and I'm sure there's a million things that happened. Give me the highlights. What happened?
Highlights. You know what? It's honestly been a pretty chill stretch since I've seen you. Been doing some fall camp, hanging out with some friends. The huge, I would say. Trying to be better about, you know, like cooking and not fun things like that.
Still got the coffee, homemade coffee stuff?
Homemade coffee was already destroyed this morning.
No.
Well.
So it's not, you don't have anything now?
Well, I just drank it all already. On my way here. I was ready to go.
I think we need to do this at some point in time. Maybe not today, but I think we need, like, a listener that's in the area to say, hey, I'll bring these good folks some good coffee this morning.
Somebody kind.
I mean, we got 72 million listeners. It seems like one could bring us a little Frappuccino or something. You
a little something.
I'm going to bring my wife. Every Friday, I'm going to bring my wife something. There's a food. She likes a local coffee shop. So it's a wrap. And I happen to like the Frappuccinos. And so every Friday morning, that's my new thing. I'm gonna pick one up and do that. But I'm going to do it today because I'm going by her school today to pick up Drake because we're going to Charleston today.
Boys trip.
Speaking of Charleston, Clemson Club, done it for 20-something years. I'm surprised they had me back this year because last year, Graham Neff and I spoke down there, and we told them how great everything was. And I'm surprised. Now, my defense is, well, you know who else told you how great Clemson was going to be?
Everyone.
Las Vegas.
Yep.
Associated Press, Coaches Poll,
ESPN.
ESPN, every writer. So that's, you know, that's not totally my fault. And I can't wait to give the autopsy down there tonight. We'll do that. And I'll tell you a funny story.
Please do.
So, you know, Jeff Scott's coaching baseball with me. We're assistant coaches for our great baseball team, 8 and under. And the other day, our head coach, his daughter plays for a travel ball softball team, and they went down to Charleston this weekend.
Okay.
And I think they played very well down there. Anyway, we're out there in throwing lines, you know, just kind of warming up a little bit. And Drake's down there throwing with Coach Scott. Coach said, he asked to say, hey, Coach, how did everything go to Charleston? Yeah, went good, whatever. And then Drake said, hey, I'm going to Charleston on Wednesday. And Coach Scott's like, yeah, what are you doing now? And he goes, speaking engagement. And Coach's like, who are you speaking to, Drake? But Drake
likes. He's got some people to talk to, some things to say, some football to talk.
Yeah, he's going to look forward to
that. Oh, that's the most Drake Plyler thing I ever heard.
Yeah, Drake likes hotels, and the hotel they set us up down there is really nice, and it's pretty cool, and he'll like that. He's been there before, but he'll like that one. So
is he missing school? He's playing.
He's taking a half day today, and he'll miss tomorrow. And we're going to come back. We'll do the show from Charleston in the morning. And then make our way back. He wants to know if we're going to the beach tomorrow after the show. I was like, yeah, you know, we might for a little bit. But we have piano at 4:15 and we have baseball at 5:30.
Things to do.
So we need to leave there with Columbia traffic now, at least by 11. So we got 2 hours after the show to mess around in Charleston.
Hang out.
Yeah.
Oh,
and we
got to
stop
awesome.
At Rush's in Columbia on the way down and the way back.
Fourth best burger?
Yes. Yeah. But not even threatening number one. They're not a threat to me. So
you're not scared.
Like the bumper sticker said, ain't scared. I'm telling you, ain't scared. So that's good. Are you? Segment two, I don't want to steal any thunder. Segment two, what are we going to do?
I want to talk about, did you watch the show Succession?
No.
Well, real life Succession is playing out with the Lakers.
Okay.
It's fascinating.
This is the sell of a $12 billion franchise.
And the sister that's saying no.
Yeah, Jenny Buss saying no. I'll just tell you this from a male standpoint. Jenny Buss is attractive, but when you're a billionaire, it makes you more attractive. And that's shocking.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, this is one of those things.
Just one of those things.
Well, like Forrest Gump said, you know, in that fruit company, just one less thing to worry about. Anyway, so that's, I can't wait. Can't wait to hear about Laker time. Are you finding in Clemson football, because you go to, they have daily press access?
Pretty much. It stops, our last day is Thursday. Because then they get into regular practice schedule. Yeah. They're doing class, all that stuff. But it's been about 4 or 5 days a week for the last 3 weeks, yeah.
Do you have quote fatigue yet? Man, we're trying hard. I tell you, this group, we're close. We have worked hard in the summer. And this group, we feel closer than last year. And there's a little more understanding of the offense this year. There's a little more continuity.
We just go every day and we just go to work. Yeah, he just goes to work every day.
Yeah.
You don't, you know it.
I just find, and I'm shuffling through message boards at Bama and Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida State. You know, some of our listening audience would listen to, and LSU a lot. And I got a funny conversation today about it I had yesterday too. But anyway, it's like everybody's like they don't say anything. Like we're searching for something. It's just not. Everybody's working hard, man. Everybody's working hard.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah,
it gets to a point. This is my first year covering it all the way through the summer and writing every day in the June and July and all that. And I'm at a point now where it's like there's about all I've said about all there is to say.
Yeah.
If they haven't come out and named a starting quarterback, yeah. Haven't come out and named starters, Dabo's really locked up on most information from the fall. Like, you got to just go play a game at this point so that there's tangible stuff to talk about. That's where we're at.
Barring injury, Vecina's going to start a quarterback. I mean, that's the worst-kept secret out there now.
Yeah.
He's not going to start a true freshman Baton Rouge.
Absolutely not. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's news when it actually gets.
Oh, yeah. What's bad is, like, when you almost have to, like, invent something new somehow. Then we had a little today. TigerNet is reporting that Dedrick Pennington is going to play some defense now. He's going to stay on offense, but play some defense.
Tackle?
Yeah, they're a little thin there, and he's not played a whole lot. He's not seen a whole lot of stuff over on offense.
That's a big dude.
He's a big dude. Maybe goal line, maybe extra point, field goal block. It's news when a fourth-team offensive lineman moves to be a fourth-team defensive lineman. Yeah. But, hey, man, we're starved, man. We're starved.
It does tell you, with Dabo especially, and this time of year, it's more what they're not saying versus what they're saying.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is, okay, four-string OL is moving to the defensive line.
Yeah.
What they're not saying is, ooh, we feel like even with bringing in Berberia and some of these other guys, we might still need some help there. That's what that tells me.
Yeah.
Tells me you don't feel great.
Catch me up. Well, and if Courtney Kelly had been healthy.
Different story.
A little different story.
Heaven Brown Shuler, same thing.
Right. And that's going to happen throughout the season, but still. We'll see. All right, with that said, we'll talk a little Clemson football today. Going to talk some race baseball today. Talk a little live tour today. Talk a little college football today. Can't wait. It's going to be a great show for you. Braves lose last night, in case you didn't stay up and see this one. The Braves opened the series with the Twins by, once the second straight night, they get down early. Just give up two in the bottom of the first inning. As Molly gives up a two spot there, they lose 4-1. Only run scored on a Drake Baldwin home run. And with that said, rest of Major League Baseball from last night. You want me to do the nickname stuff?
Please do.
Bronx Bombers down the O's 3-1. Tigers beat the Bucks beat the Tigers 4-1. Fighting Phils over the Fish 6-4. I don't know, Guardians. Guardians over Giants 8-1. Redbirds down to Red Stockings. Red Stockings 3-0. Jays down to Rays, double up 10-5. Red Sox bit the Snakes 9-4. Padres over the Metropolitans 5-2. I'm trying. The Royals crown the A's 4-3.
Oh, that was good. That one.
How about what the Brew Crew did to the M's last night?
What'd they do?
22-0.
Oh!
22 runs, 22 hits. 22-0.
Oh, that poor pitcher.
Can't believe they went for two. See what the poor pitcher looks like. Poor pitcher coming in the form of
Sweet pitcher.
Miller, 4 2/3, 7 innings, 6 runs, 5 earned. Well, no, the worst. Simpson, second guy out, 2/3 of an inning, 3 hits, 5 runs.
Yee.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's only what,
Revis
12?
Late, 1 inning, 9 runs, 9 hits, 9 runs.
Wait, how many hits?
9 hits and 9
Golly.
Runs.
Golly.
Is he, he's not a position player.
That friend got tattooed. Woo!
ERA at 63 right now. How's Caden doing, by the way?
His ERA is not a 63.
No,
I can
no,
tell you that.
No. If it was, he'd be over here selling cars. Okay, off you. Brand new certified pre-owned Kia Sorento.
Time to hit
Sorrento.
LinkedIn, friends.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a lot of people I know that maybe it's time to hit LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's time. With some of this class of 2022 stuff, I know a lot of people my age, because that's my class in high school, that are sitting at their like full-time corporate jobs, and now it's like, you have an extra year of eligibility. And they're like, man.
Well,
LinkedIn called.
Yeah.
Had to answer.
Rangers shut out the Nats 5-0. Halos over the Stros 3-1. Dodgers beat the Rockies 7-6. And you'll get this one, I hope. Northsiders beat the Southsiders 4-3. No, Southsiders beat the Northsiders. Cubs beat the White Sox 4-3. Northsiders. Yeah, Northside is Cubs. Southside is White Sox.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think I'm right by saying that. Only reason I know that is Shameless. You watch Shameless?
I watched the first couple seasons of Shameless.
Oh, I love Shameless.
So funny.
Braves now 5.5 games up. The Phillies have won 5 in a row. So, objects in the rearview mirror may be closer than they appear. Keep an eye on that one.
They're so frustrating, the Braves.
Yeah.
So frustrating. You start feeling great about them again, it's like, all right. Can't get too comfortable.
AP preseason All-American team out. Dante Moore, Oregon quarterback, running backs, Kewan Lacy from Ole Miss, Ahmad Hardy from Missouri. Mad Eye Chap Hassan. Offensive lineman, Carter Smith, Indiana. Trevor Goosby from Texas. Evan Tangaliga was Cincinnati.
One more time.
Yeah. Tingasdahl. Shadre Hurst from Houston. Kate Piper from Iowa. Tight end, who Clemson will see. Tre'Davious Green from LSU. Wide receivers, Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State. Malachi Toney, Miami. Cam Coleman, Texas. We do have an all-purpose back, which is okay because we don't have a kick returning guy. Wayne Knight, UCLA. Kicker, Tate Sandell from Oklahoma. Defensively, we have edge rushers Colin Simmons from Texas and Dylan Stewart, South Carolina. But he hadn't practiced. He didn't practice in the spring. And then he didn't play in their – no, he played against Clemson in their last game. He just hadn't practiced.
Is he supposed to be ready to play?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a back injury or something, but is this an NIL injury? I asked myself. I think that's okay to ask. Gamecock fans, check in with me on that one. Amari Washington from Oregon defensive tackle, David Stone from Oklahoma defensive tackle linebackers, Rashawn Bryles from Texas, Xavier Atkins from Auburn, and Hardy from Indiana. The cornerbacks, Leonard Moore from Notre Dame, Elias Robinson, the fourth from Georgia. Georgia also has safety KJ Bolden, Oregon's Coy Purchase, the other safety. And for some reason, we have a nickelback. So we're playing 12 on defense and 13 on offense. Bray Hubbard from Alabama, punter. It's Evan Crenshaw from Troy punter.
Let's go, Trojans. Come on. Why is bro at Troy?
I don't know. How did he?
What are you doing in Troy, Al?
Yeah, what? What? Did you not? Do you not understand the transfer portal? If you're a good kicker at Troy, don't you? I mean, it is a law. I think it is in the NCAA bylaws. You have to transfer to Alabama punt.
It is, my friend, that transfer portal is for you and you alone.
I mean, do you not like money? Don't you know that classes and loyalty mean nothing? You got to go out and make yours?
Maybe he just – listen, I guess there's people out there that just for the love – they just love Troy, you know?
No. Is he not familiar with the phrase, I gots to get mines? Like, that's it's about me, man. What are you doing?
You know it's bad when you and me are sitting here and telling somebody he needs
transfer.
Dude.
Transfer.
What is this guy's name?
Hold on, I gotta find him again. I will tell you this. The mistake that we've made in this situation is that we have assumed that he's not making $1 million a punt at Troy. maybe Troy emptied their NIL treasure chest on their punter, first team All-American punter.
That's just sad.
Evan Crenshaw.
That tells you how you feel about your offense if you're paying a pretty penny for your punter, man.
Or well, your punter feels about your offense. Hey, man, I get more opportunities. I get more playing time. I want my punter.
Sad.
I want my punter to not let her. Like, he just didn't qualify for enough snaps to let her. Let's keep non-punting stuff.
Don't tell that to Dabo. He'll go off on a whole tangent about punter again.
Ugh.
Yeah, this kid averaged 45.7 yards per punt, long of 62 last year.
He reminded us of Ray Guy, is what Dabo would say. He got a 14 walk-on guy that he got from the chemistry department, chem engineering.
I told him from the KA house.
He reminds me of Ray Guy in a lot of ways. Yeah. All right, short break. We're talking Lakers. We're talking Showtime. We're talking Jenny Buss and the Buss family in secession. Can't wait. Short break. Much more on the other side.
The countdown is on. 17 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles.
Awesome company. Enjoyed it. He just doesn't get 5 stars. But Justin's like, why don't we have 60? We say all 5-star reviews. Now we had one of the 65, and it's 4, and the guy loved it.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Like, oh, what are we going to do? But it bothered him through all that. Anyway, with that said, when it does happen to you, it's easy to remember the name. It's myalldry.com. There's a big box store out there, the national company, that's not very good at it, and they'll it's a ripoff. Don't do that. Go with the best. Myalldry.com, 864-863-1234. Segment 2 with Ashby Mix.
All right, I'm going to play this video I got from The Athletic of somebody breaking down the legal situation of what's going on here. So we have some background, and I'm not going through jargon. So we'll start off with this. This is one of their NBA reporters.
This is not a video from last summer. This is a video from today, this summer, 2026. For the second time in 15 months, 14 months now, the team has changed hands. They moved from the Buss family to Mark Walter, and now, thanks to a $12.5 billion agreement, they will be moving from Mark Walter and the Guggenheim Group to Bob Iger and to Josh Kushner. This is very surprising news. People around the Lakers, people around the NBA did not see this coming. This deal apparently came together very quickly over the course of the weekend. Obviously, there is investigations going on into Mark Walter's finances. I'm told at least from people close to the Walter Group that this had nothing to do with it, that this was an opportunity just to make some extra money, that it was a smart investment. Obviously, a $2.5 billion increase in valuation in 12 months is pretty remarkable. But obviously, a lot of questions still to be asked, a lot of questions still to be answered. I think right now, the major takeaway is that the Lakers are in flux again, that this is an organization that had the stability of family ownership, which is not a word we would associate with the family ownership. It had certainly its share of drama with the Buss family, but at least we're under the same roof for more than 40 years. And now in 18 months have changed hands twice. Obviously the deal still needs to be approved by the NBA's board of governors. A lot has to happen in terms of due diligence and finance because of the rapid nature that things are happening, but we're going to tackle it all at The Athletic, what it means for basketball, what it means for business.
All right. So that's the gist. Basically, for years and years and years, the Buss family's been in charge of the Lakers, right?
Right.
They've kind of been a pillar. Like Jerry Buss in the 70s, 80s was
Showtime. Yeah.
Right. Like that was the whole thing. And then passed it down to his daughter, Jeannie Buss. She was in charge of kind of being in charge, taking on that role. She remained really close with Magic Johnson, whatever. So now you're in a situation where the 5 other Buss siblings, well, all 6 of the Buss siblings, okay, Jerry's kids.
Do you know their names, by the way?
It's a lot of J's.
It is.
If you can come up with a J name, it's probably one of them.
Well, because his wife was Joan Buss, and he was Jerry Buss. And it's Johnny Buss and Jim Buss and Janie Buss and Jenny Buss. And there's another one or two in there.
It's like the Von Trapps.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Anyway.
But the rest of them are like, all right, we're ready to sell. We're ready to be done with this. We're done with the family business, all this stuff. Jeannie, however, who's kind of the face of this whole thing and has been for a lot of years, is saying no, absolutely not. So the 5 siblings, the 5 J's, got together behind her back and made this decision to sell to these billionaires.
Yeah.
She's completely blindsided. She comes out and says, absolutely not. We're not doing that. And so she sues all her siblings. And so now you have a situation where there's $12.5 billion at stake. You have this young venture capitalist, which I don't even really know what that means when people say it, and it's too late for me to ask. But you got them ready to sell to make this huge deal of the Lakers, who've gone up $2 billion in how much they're worth in the last year, apparently. And she is saying, no, I'm staying, I'm sticking around, and you guys are all in contempt of court. So now she's suing them for all this money. What? This is a big... This is why this is interesting to me, okay? It feels like an old-school type drama. In a world of NIL and all this stuff, this is just some old-school NBA royalty family drama on a public scale, and I cannot wait for the documentary.
All right, I want to know about what happens and like why. So I'm just looking this up now. Let me look up Janie, because I hadn't. That's one of the sisters, Janie Buss. Net worth. She's worth $500 million to a billion. One of the brothers, $400 million to $500 million. Genie is $700 million to $1.2 billion. So at that point in time, you're not selling it for the money.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you can say, okay, we get $12 billion. There's five or six. Everybody gets $2 billion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aww.
And that's great. But like, if you're worth 700, like if you and I got $2 billion, we go, oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. But if you're worth $700 million, then you're not selling it because of the money. You don't. There's nothing you could do with $2 billion that you can't buy with $700 million.
Exactly.
So this has got to be we're tired of it, or it's a lifestyle, or if it's a, you know, like why? I don't understand why. And it, so you don't want to be the owner anymore. Is it causing too much drama in your family? Like, what's the downside? Again, you don't need the money. So why do you sell the Lakers?
Here's what I think.
What are you going to do? Seriously, if you own the Lakers and you're worth $1.2 billion,
what would you rather buy?
And I'm going to give you $2 more billion. What else? Yeah, what else would you go buy with that? What substitutes you own the Lakers?
What is cooler than that?
Oh, but on the other side of it, like, it's not like, okay, if you own the Lakers, we decide if you're going to fire the coach or something. But what else can you do like that you can't do just by going and being a fan? And like, you get pretty good tickets at $3 billion.
I would hope.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why? I want to know why. What's the motivation? Is it just in spite? Could you sell the Lakers out of spite?
I think what's going on is the rest of the siblings probably don't want to be in the spotlight, don't want to be in the drama, don't want to be connected to all of this, because they're all getting older. Like, they're 69, 66. They're on their 60s for the most part. But Jeannie Buss has been the center of this thing. She's been in charge of this. Her dad personally gave it to her. That's the distinction here.
Yes.
So I think she feels connected to it. And I have to wonder, just based on family dynamics, if there's a jealousy thing there, or if there's a bitterness thing, or if she was kind of a boss the rest of them around on a big scale. Because at the end of the day, all of this stuff is, you know, there's incredible amounts of money involved, and there's drama, and there's blockbuster trades. But behind it, it's sibling dynamics and it's family dynamics. And I wonder how much that played a part in the $12.5 billion at stake.
Let me get you this. I just looked this up. You're right, by the way, on all that. If you could just net 5%, that's a pretty conservative number.
Sure.
If you're worth $500 million, you net out at $2,083,000 a month. Again, we talked about this one. Maybe Will and I talked about it. Like, you can't spend $2 million a month.
Nope.
There's no way you're paying off other stuff or something. But I don't understand. Like, what's your motivation? What is the? I don't get that. I just don't get it at all.
Say you're making $2 million a month. Since we've been sitting here, we would have made
more than we're making doing this. It's close.
Wait, I'm trying to think. We would have already made several thousand dollars.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, so again, like, what can you do once you have 500 million? What else is the. Trying to be a billionaire? Is it a billionaire thing? All the siblings want to be billionaires?
It's a family thing, man. At the end
of
the day.
It's all family. That's it.
Craziness. Yeah. Anyways, I had to get my... I know we're going to be football heavy for the rest of the show, so I had to get my lick in somewhere.
I like it, though. So, Texture said, Mickey, this is Terry in Greenwood. The reason you don't understand the Lakers deal is you currently don't have $500, $700 million, so you can't relate. The money is much less value to the folks than it does for us poor folks, LOL. Yeah, I mean, there is a point in there. And I don't know what that, and it's probably different for everybody. But there's a point in there where it's not about money. And that sounds dumb to say, hey, it's a $12 billion deal and it's not about money. But there's a point in there where you can't spend it. Your kids can't spend it fast enough. There's nothing you can buy that you can spend it fast enough once you have X amount. There's no way to do it.
You can literally buy the nicest house in the world and still be.
Yeah, and just still, I don't know. Yeah, this has to be family.
It's a family business.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, even though it's on a massive, massive scale,
yeah,
like the most expensive scale in probably professional sports or close to it.
What's the cool factor worth?
A lot.
Okay, well, what replaces the cool factor?
Totally agree.
Because if you own the Lakers, and by the way, there's a pretty good cash flow with that, but if you own the Lakers, like, I'm sure you own really cool yachts and really cool private jets.
Yep.
And really cool houses all over the world. Like, but what do you replace the Lakers with?
I don't know. I think it's your dad's legacy, and she wants to stay with that, and they're probably ready to be done with all the drama that comes with it. And I can understand both sides of that, but you're not going to be able to buy anything cooler than the Lakers, just saying. It has to be because it jumped up in valuation $2 billion in a year. That has to be why it's
But here's the thing I know about economics and about this stuff. We've got to take a break. But
oh, I don't.
They're not gonna move. They're going to be like, oh, well, they devalued by another billion. Like, it's not going to go down.
I would want my kids to have the Lakers that they can sell with it.
Yes.
You know? Because that's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to leave me a professional sports team in their will.
Heck, I'm just asking for a Frappuccino. Short break.
A wrap.
I enjoyed segment two. It was really cool. Enjoyed segment two. Short break. Much more on the other side after this.
We got buzzer beaters, walk-offs, and Hail Mary.
To the house!
95.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
When you're stuck on the side of the road, you don't have time to wait. That's where Skinner Tire comes in. With top tire brands in stock, with fast, reliable service, they'll get you rolling again in no time. And if you can't make it to them, no problem. Their roadside trucks are ready to come to you. Flat tire? Blowout? New set needed? Call the folks Upstate Drivers Trust. Skinner Tire, 864-599-0026 for the best prices today.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley.
The fact that you always feel the need to tell me that vanilla is the best flavor, it makes me know. I don't think you really believe it in your heart. I think you've just taken a stance, and now you have to go with it.
I believe it. I believe it is. It is my civic duty to remind you of it.
Mm.
Do you need reminding, by the way? Is there any debate here? Let me tell you about my great friends at Trail. TREHEL.com. 800-319-7006. We love Trail. We love what Trail can do for us. Trail, bottom line is Trail is awesome. This is a great company. This is a company I love being branded with. The Better Building Experience works. It works at an unbelievable level. I always ask Ashby all the time when I do these segments about Trail, pick one of these: commercial, faith-based, industrial, multifamily, healthcare, education, municipalities, that reuse or nonprofit. And she's going to pick
nonprofit.
Okay. Nonprofits, they do a great job with this. And this is something big that they're into now. The Clemson Community Care Building, which is awesome. Gateway House and Greenville Humane Society and Our Daily Rest and the Westminster Train Depot. They've got a great list. So if you're in a nonprofit and you like the Collins Children's Home, they did that. Like I said, the Gateway House, Coney Memorial Heritage Center. They did a great job of nonprofits. So if you got a nonprofit, matter of fact, there's a bunch of nonprofits I know that listen. I'm just thinking off the top of my head right now. When you need that next building for you, think about that. My great friends at Trail, the Better Building Experience works. It's Trail, TREHEL.com, 800-319-7006. All right. I was talking to someone yesterday about Clemson football. And let me back all the way up. 2 or 3 days ago, actually, it was over the weekend. Today's Wednesday. This is like Sunday or Monday. All right. A national media member is talking to me, and he's saying, "Hey, man, I'm hearing Clemson is loaded, and there's an opposing coach out there that's talking to members of the media. Say, hey, or talk to somebody, not members of the media, a friend of mine that has a business with an opposing coach. Said, I think Dabo's sandbagging. I think he knows he's going to be really good this year. And my point of that was, well, yeah, we'll see. What they did ACC day where they came in and they went to practice and all that kind of stuff. And so that's the ACC network people, the Tenenbaum lady, whatever her name is, and the Georgia Tech guy. I'm going crazy now. Help me out there. The quarterback that played at Georgia Tech that's on the ACC network.
Yeah, hold on.
Anyway, but they came over here, and they went to practice, and Tom Luganville. They went to practice, and they're raving about it now online, about, man, Clemson looked good. Clemson was amazing. Clemson's going to be this. And it's gotten out there now. It's all about Dabo sandbagging. Dabo knows he has something, but he's sandbagging. I had Buddy Sanji, LSU guy, said he sounded like Bear Bryant bad-mouthing his team. And my point was, I texted Buddy back, LSU radio guy down there. No, Bear Bryant had something. See, I do think Clemson's going to be improved. I'm buying that. But I'm not buying the fact that Dabo knows how great they are, and he's doing this on purpose of sandbagging. I think this, and as I was talking to one of our local media members here the other day, made a great point. It'd be the dumbest thing you could ever do if your Dabo Swinney to come out after 7-6 and you told everybody how great you're going to be last year, and everybody told everybody how great everything's going to be last year, and you come out this year and you try to promise the same thing. It'd be an awful business move. So I don't think it's Dabo thinking, hey, we're going to be loaded, but I'm going to downplay this thing. I think it's I'm going to downplay this thing because I don't want to make the same mistake we made last year, the year before, the year before, about telling you how great it's going to be. Let's just go back to work. Let's just find it in the dirt, and let's shut our mouths, and if we are good, then we'll find out about that on the field. We're not going to find out about in August about telling people how great we are. My point is, I don't think Dabo is sandbagging. I don't think Dabo thinks he has something great, but is purposely telling the media a bunch of nobodies, not doing this, this, and this.
See, I disagree with you a little bit.
All right. Tell me why.
It is very purposeful that he's going out and telling the media, we're a bunch of nobodies. And I don't know if it's necessarily because he thinks this is the greatest team he's ever had, but it's not because he actually thinks he has nobodies. He's not going to look at an Ashton Hampton, a Sammy Brown, a Bryant Wesco and tell you that's a nobody. Yeah. Dabo knows that.
Yeah.
It's a way for them to not kind of take any poison like they did last year. He's been very, very clear about that. And all the players have been very clear about that is, yeah, we're not listening to anything. And he swung so far one way on the pendulum last year, I think. Like, after practices and stuff, he was driving by. Like, he was waving at people. He was acting like on top of the world. I don't know if you remember, but this time last year, he was joking about Brian Kelly and how he thought he got him confused with the Florida Georgia Line guy, and they were texting and they were laughing. Opposite now.
Yeah.
It's like he has swung to the opposite way because he was so frustrated with what happened. I think it's coming more from that rather than he actually thinks the players on the team aren't that good. Are they going to be the best team ever? No, I don't think so. But if he actually thought that it wasn't a good team, I don't think he would come out and say, yeah, we're a bunch of nobodies. I don't think that would be the dialogue.
Let me ask you this, because I mentioned this on yesterday's show. When Lou Holtz would talk great about one of his teams,
they'd be bad?
They'd be terrible. He's trying to build their confidence. When Lou Holtz downplayed his team, he knew he had something. Mm-hmm. Do you think Dabo's Pollyanna guy? Everybody's greatest. This is going to be the next Brett Favre at quarterback guy. I get that. I think that it is just a reaction to last year's team and a reaction to how they handled everything, that we're not going to give anybody any credit on anything. Now, again, I don't think he thinks. I mean, Dabo's very positive, but there's no way you can go out to practice right now and think, yeah, that looks like Christian Wilkins, and that looks like Dexter Lawrence, and that looks like Trevor Lawrence, and that looks like T. Higgins, and that looks like Cleveland Farrell, and that looks like – because it doesn't. It just doesn't. So I don't think he thinks that. I think this is a direct – we're kind of saying the same thing. This is a reaction just to last year. And let me say this about last year. Two things happened last year to make this football team not very good. Number one is – the safeties and the secondary were absolutely atrocious.
Horrible. 121st in the country.
Right. And number two is the big ticket items that you bought in Woods and Parker and Klubnik and those guys, they didn't produce. So the great that you thought was going to be great wasn't great, and the good you thought was going to be good wasn't good. But at that point, Dabo spent all last fall talking about the big ticket items. And then he told me how I got a bunch of dudes in the secondary. So with that said, I think this is all just one reaction to 7-6, and I'm not going to make that mistake anymore. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how great we're going to be anymore. We'll find out if we are. But I don't think it's hey, man, I got something, and I'm going to downplay it, just to downplay it and then come out and surprise everybody. I don't think that's – I think it's a reaction to last year.
It's a reaction to last year. If I'm Coach Sweeney, which this is not me trying to speak for him, obviously – but I'm making sure that this spring, summer, and fall, that I'm doing everything in my power, and I'm putting the coaches in my power in positions to, if Clemson isn't good this season, it's not because of me. You know, I'm doing everything in my power to make it as hard as I can, to fire them up, to light a fire under them. I'm doing everything I can as a coach, right? And this just feels like another side of that.
Yeah.
I think that the coaching has probably been a lot harder in the last 6 months than it was at any point this time a year ago.
Well, that would lead to this question then. Why would you ever not coach that way? Like, even the best of the best need to be coached that way.
And that's probably a lesson that was learned.
Lesson.
I think you probably didn't think you had to do that with guys that are going to be you would expect them to be self-motivated. Okay, great. Now you learn.
Here I am. And look, I'm the biggest Dabo Sweeney fan out there. But I may be a bigger or as big an Eric Backus fan out there. And he's doing the same thing. That you kind of learn a lesson that you – and look, I do it as a dad maybe. You know, I should have stayed on them harder. Should not have let up with this. Maybe. Complacency? I mean, is that fair? Is that a fair term to use?
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also, and this is going to be a strong strong word, and it's just because I can't come up with a better one that's more accurate. Also kind of feels like a betrayal of trust a little bit, too, from some of those players.
Okay, you mean coaches not trusting players?
I meant they trusted them a lot.
Yes.
And got taken
advantage
of. And
got burned.
Yep.
Yep, 100%. That's my point, is that the guys that you thought you could count on, they burned you.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't likable. We talked about this a lot yesterday. They weren't likable. And I don't like that team. I don't like what happened to that team. I don't like some of the guys on that team. I don't like how they handle their business. I don't like the fact that they're partying and all that money and all that went in their head. I don't like that at all. So this team has a chance to be very likable by not being as talented, but just working hard and doing the little things and being fundamentally sound and having some moxie and resiliency and some guts about you, being mentally tough and physically tough. I told you, like, that's my goal for the whole year is let's don't – I can feel good about 27 and get back in the national picture again, but let's just have a little more pride in ourselves. I just want to like you. I want to like watching you. And last year I didn't like watching you because last year was a disaster. And I looked like I cared more than you, and that ought not be the case.
I have thoughts.
All right.
I totally agree.
Can't wait. Do not lose that thought. Short break. We'll come back. Hour number two, right after this.
They got it. 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
Here's a quick experiment. The next time you're sweeping your floors, take a vent cover off and look inside. See it? The dust, the pet hair, the dead bugs. Gross. Imagine that.